You're listening to the Batuta Advocate's weekly news wrap on Desert Rock FM 96.5.
Welcome back to the Batuta Advocate weekly bulletin. That's what it is today. We have an interview coming up on Batuta Talks with Angus Sampson. We have had a good run of interviews, actually, these last couple of weeks. Old mate from The Imperfects, you did that one, Wendell.
Yeah, Huey, he was good. Didn't get as long with him as we hoped, but he reckons he's coming back for another couple of parts. Some great stories there. Queensland Origin in the coach's box with Billy Slater.
He's a resilience guy, so he works with the coaches too, of course. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, Peter Garrett for all you lefties. And we're hoping to get both the Queensland Premier and the Queensland Opposition Leader, Stephen Miles and David Crisafulli. We've had Crisafulli before. He had less of a chance than Snow and Cairns to beat Anastasia Palaszczuk, but things have changed a lot, and the LNP are looking like contenders heading into this Queensland election, so we'd like to interview the both of them. Consider this a shout-out to a lot of you. Miles, we're coming for you too.
But given Crisafulli now is looking like a chance, he probably won't come on here, you know what I mean?
We'll see.
He'll avoid us.
We'll see. The LNP aren't well-known for being brand-conscious, so...
True.
He probably will. What about you, Errol? What's going on?
Oh, look, I'm still reeling from the news that Splendor's been canned. I was looking forward to camping for 3 days, seeing Confidence Man, seeing G Flip, seeing Future, seeing...
You're a Future guy.
Look, I'm not really sure what he does, but like he got...
He mumbles.
He was like at top billing. So I was looking forward to seeing what he had.
You listen to the new album? Or?
No, I haven't listened to any of his music, but I was looking forward to seeing it.
Bro, you've got to listen to the Kendrick diss verse on it.
I remember during your divorce, you were a fan of Molly and Percocets. You were at home with half a bottle of Matala and some Percocets.
I don't know what they are. I live a pretty clean lifestyle. I don't know what you're going at here, but look. I'm gutted for people like G Flip, obviously gutted for Confidence Man. I think having seen them on the ABC New Year's Eve broadcast on the 31st of December last year, I was actually, that was the first time I saw them, and I really did think that it was like the end of what was a really good year for the world, to leave 2023 behind to a Confidence Man televised concert. I thought it was great.
Well, I mean, it's not just you, mate. It's a lot of people are grieving. Australian musicians are thankful that at least they have a supportive pub scene in Australia.
Yeah, and
where
of course
they can make their dough instead.
Today we're all mourning the fact that Wendell's people killed the son of my god. Not that Clancy had anything to do with it with his god, but
oh my god, look, changes with every royal
look,
family.
I'm just happy that we've gotten to the end of Lent. I had given up a lot.
You have? What sort of things, Errol?
Look, things that I'm not willing to discuss on this international podcast. That
fair enough.
You know, 50,000 people, that's 100,000 ears like to tune into for some reason. Mm. But look, I'm not telling you about the certain activities that I stopped doing over Lent. It's been a long 40 days and 40 nights, I'll tell you what.
Did you retire your waifu pillow?
I don't have a waifu pillow. And for those who are listening at home who might not know what a waifu pillow is, for our readers and listeners that drive tractors for a living, that swing hammers, that actually contribute to society for a living and don't just sit on a bus going to some bullshit job and listen to this podcast while they're on the way there, a waifu pillow is a... It's a body pillow, you know. It's similar to what your wife would have when she's pregnant, but instead of it being, you know, there to take the pressure off certain things, it's got a print of like an anime woman on it that you're supposed to sleep with.
And it replaces your wife, obviously, if you don't have one. Or
if you have a waifu pillow, odds are you've never had a wife. But
or you're in a modern relationship.
That's very true. But like, look, that
people fall in love with them.
No,
that's the problem.
No. But the waifu pillow are different.
Why is that a problem, Clancy?
From
it's a big problem.
The sex doll people.
Yeah, they're different.
That's no, yeah, yeah. It's an like, emotional thing.
Yeah, they don't necessarily. Well, they might.
No. See, look, no, but look, You of all people should know you can get a sex doll on the NDIS.
Well, I mean, look, I got one so that I could drive in the T2 lane to work. You. I just put it in the passenger seat so I could drive to the T2 lane.
So you're sharing that one with your brother Clyde.
Well, I'm using it for different reasons. I have it in the T2, in the passenger seat, so I don't get pinched by the cops when I drive in the T2 lane to work.
That thing would pong. I hope you got the windows down.
She coughed the other day.
Anyway, Wendell, what's making news this
week, mate? I think we should get into it. We'll touch on that story you just mentioned at the top of the show there. Errol Splendor has been canned and it's been revealed. It's because the kids are fucked financially and mentally from spending 3 years indoors in the prime of their young lives.
The news has broken the hearts of many people who hold special memories of their time spent prancing through the sun-kissed plains of North Byron Parkland and Tiagra over the last 20 years. It's drawn plenty of musing and soul-searching for people inside and outside the music industry who are coming to terms with the fact that the idea of jumping in a van and spending 3 days camping in Byron in between watching live performances by the nation's most popular acts no longer seems to be an adventure for young people.
Yes, it's slowly creeping in. That and the fact that most people in their late teens and early 20s are fucked financially and need to pay for things like rent and food. And with the nation still trying to pin down exactly what is causing the death of festivals around the country, a strong theory has been offered up that the Australian youth had their sense of adventure and financial emancipation robbed from them by the world's strictest public health orders, which had been installed to protect the post-war generation who are now raising rent in property investments around the country. Thanks for nothing.
Segues nicely into our next story. It's not all good and easy for landlords. Persecuted landlords have revealed that they might have to sell one of their properties after the entire taxation system and generational wealth is unable to protect every single investment they have from the real world.
Yes, a scary reality is faced by some of Australia's most vulnerable people this year. As tough economic times continue to bite, landlords across our great property speculating land are coming to terms with the fact that some of them might have to sell an investment property, or maybe even two.
Yes, it's a really terrible story that's affecting a swathe of landlords who are facing the prospect of not having assets that appreciate in huge value, whilst also housing peasants who pay the investment loans required to accumulate more and more property. We spoke to one landlord in town who has no business acumen other than being born before having a home was turned into a commodity. And she told us she's going to have to sell her sixth investment property because the gap between the investment loan repayments and the rent she can hike in 12-month periods has been pulled too far apart. It is just un-Australian and disgusting.
Yeah, it is. So the property she told us about that she's going to have to sell, she bought on the Sunshine Coast for just over $700,000. She's going to have to sell it for well short of what she expected, only about $945,000, which, you know, it's a couple hundred thousand over the last 4 years, but it's she obviously was hoping to hold on to that for a little bit longer and then leverage it into the seventh and the eighth property. But
and to think all of that money is just going to go to some dreadful aged care home to change her for the next 10 years when she loses her marbles.
Well, I guess some of it will go to the future landlords in her family.
Stimulating the economy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now we've got some scientific news. A report has found that 90% of blokes who drive a ute while dressed head to toe in RMs work behind a desk.
Yes, a new report by the state's peak scientific body, the CSIRO, has revealed that the overwhelming majority of Australian men who wear RMs and drive utes do not have a lifestyle that would require strong footwear, nor the need for such large storage space, other than the occasional sweet marketplace furniture find, that is.
Yes, speaking to a number of young gentlemen exiting a French Quarter RM store, the Advocate has learnt that the majority of men who fall under the RM ute combo work in an office doing tech, finance or marketing, or real estate. This includes local man, art director at One Pump Digital, Gavin Daly Hoss. Daly Hoss explained to us that while he has no need whatsoever for a utility vehicle, having a Ford Ranger makes him feel like a strong, virile young man, and he wouldn't have it any other way.
Fair enough.
Yes, it's a telltale sign, isn't it? If it's not erectile dysfunction, it's premature ejaculation with those RM boys, isn't it?
Mm. Mm,
it is. Mm. Shout out to you, Errol Parker, for not kind of buying into this masculinity that's enveloped all of our nation. You know, you drive that Suzuki Swift around proudly. You don't let any of them bring you down. Fuel efficient, just a nice, smart car.
Mate, you buy the car that your ego can afford. And after I went and did ayahuasca in the Glasshouse Mountains, I suffered complete ego death, and now I don't have a conscience. So,
Suzuki it is.
Yeah, very impressive. Suzuki it is.
That's a good, humble car. Now, we'll finish up with some good news. And a local Bun Me joint, which is still charging $7 for a roll and a can combo, has received a National Heritage listing. Big news for our town.
And it's about damn time, I will say. The famous Saigon Roll Bakehouse on Radonica Street in the Flight Path District is finally getting the credit it deserves. Run by the Nguyen family for over 30 years, the SRB has fed God knows how many people and will feed them continuously and feed them well.
Now, in the face of rising inflation and old-fashioned greed, the Nguyens have been recognised for staying committed to providing their loyal customer base with a hearty, reliable and cost-effective lunchtime option. The shop was this week approved by the Heritage Trust for its, quote, possession of uncommon, rare or endangered aspects of Australia's natural or cultural history. I'm just glad we're not a bunch of South Australians having to read that article, I'll tell you what.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, they don't show the respect to the Barn Me down there.
No, I'm glad I'm not a Tasmanian trying to read that article as well.
Hey, cut it out. They're trying to form government. It's a tough time.
Yeah.
That's all from us this week in the weekly Batuta Bulletin. Thanks for listening in, and hopefully we didn't freak you out with some of the improvised riffing earlier.
Ceasefire now.
Hooroo.